Hey there! Welcome back to What's Up. This is the podcast where I discuss the Chris Watts murder case. Thank you so much for joining today. Even if you're not with me, I feel like you're with me, and I love that. So thank you so much for being a part of this journey. It's really awesome to discuss this case, and I just want to make it clear, this is a tragedy. It's a very, very, very sad story, and as I've said before, but I just want to make it clear, because I know I sound chirpy and peppy, but I have cried over this story numerous times, including this morning. Like, every time I reflect on Shanann and the kids and the absolute tragedy of it all, I just get very, very, very sad. So I know it's a sad story, but it's still a story that just seems so goddamn mysterious that you feel like you just have to figure it out like this giant puzzle. Because even though technically it's a settled case, I mean, it's a settled case in that there's a confession and the person who did it, he's in prison for life. So technically it's settled, but we all know it's not settled. It's not settled. I'm not saying anyone else but Chris is guilty. I'm saying that the details of what happened are just so murky. They're so unclear. They're so just like, right? Am I right? Is that why you're listening to this podcast? That's why I do it. I'm not saying I have all the answers, because I don't. I don't get down in the weeds with the specific details, like the little nitty-gritty. There's a lot of people that are amazing at that. I'm probably not one of them. I'm someone who just does more of like a broad analysis. I try to get things right. I try to only cite details that I actually can reference, but sometimes I get it wrong, and I definitely get slammed for that. So I assure you, I'm doing my best. But I think it's a fascinating case. I kind of wish that I could get to the bottom of it. I realize I'm never going to get to the bottom of it. None of us are ever going to get to the bottom of this case. Even if there was a trial, we still would never be fully satisfied. I think the reason for that is because this story, it just flies in the face of everything we know about civilization and the way things are supposed to work, right? You see this lovely family, this nice-looking husband, this beautiful wife, these adorable children, and you see them in their matching jerseys, and you see them in family vacation photos, and they're smiling, and they're quote-unquote thriving. They seem to be doing so well. So for this to happen, to kind of collide with that image, it's just too much to bear. It's too hard for us to comprehend that. The shattering of the American illusion. And maybe that's what it is. I don't know. There's something about this case that has captivated the attention of people in the US and the UK and Russia and China and anyone who's watched the Netflix thing. It's just like you look at this and you just want to figure it out like a giant puzzle. I'm one of those people. If you want to join the conversation, as I said, I now have a Facebook group. You know, I know some people have had trouble finding it. I'm sorry for that. It's a link, so it's kind of hard to just say the entire link and have you just like write it all down. You can find it on my website. It's whatsupnow.com. That's whatsupnow.com. Whatsupnow.com. And then you could just join the conversation. You could find any of the Facebook links to the group. You can join the group page and join the conversation. Okay, that said, thank you again for joining this podcast. I've covered a lot of ground. It might seem like, what's left? I mean, what is there really left to talk about? I feel like I've covered it from every angle, and yet I feel like this case, and I don't mean this to be glib, even if it sounds like I am being glib, is the gift that keeps on giving. There's just so much to unpack that I feel like I'm not done talking about it. I don't think anyone who's following the case is done researching it and trying to figure it out either. So I don't feel like I've hit the wall just yet. You may disagree. That's up to you. But this is what I want to talk about in this particular episode. This is whether or not it was premeditated. Okay? So I feel like the majority of the people, from what I've observed, have decided, feel like it 100% was premeditated. So he thought about this before, he set out a plan, and then he did it. premeditation, right? It wasn't spur of the moment. It wasn't the result of a snap, right? But I actually am not in that camp. I would say the majority of the postings I've seen online and the YouTube videos and the Reddit posts and anything on the internet pretty much says, yes, of course he planned it. He planned it months in advance, weeks in advance, at least days in advance, but it was planned in advance. Now, let me clarify what I'm saying here. I'm not saying it was spur of the moment, as though he had no thoughts about doing this whatsoever. No, not at all. I definitely think he thought about it before. I just don't think it was a laid out plan that was laid out weeks before. I don't think so. Not even close. So my friend and I were having a conversation about this case, and she said to me, and I agree with her, she said, you know, he probably thought about killing her before. You know, maybe he just never, obviously he never acted on it, but it probably crossed his mind more than a few times. Okay, for him to go from not thinking of it at all to suddenly doing what he did is quite a leap. It's a huge leap. It is going over, you know, the Grand Canyon. It's a leap, okay? So I think that it probably crossed his mind before, and on this particular day or morning, it actually came to pass. It actually materialized, okay? So that's kind of, I agree with her on that. The question of premeditation, I guess in my mind, is how far in advance did he actually plan this? Now, I think it wasn't very far in advance at all. That's my humble opinion. I don't think so. Now, I feel like there are, if this was a debate, I feel like one side of the debate could be, yes, of course it was premeditated, and here's why. Here I'm going to lay out all the reasons why it 100% clearly was premeditated. And then the other debate team is going to say, no, it wasn't premeditated. If it was premeditated, it was maybe a day max. I'm in the other camp. I'm in the second camp. I believe it was more of a spontaneous plan. It was something he thought out, but it was not a well laid out plan. Obviously, we know it wasn't a well laid out plan, but I just don't think it was a thorough plan, something you put down on a spreadsheet and check it out and, you know, test it and make sure that it's going to work. You know, kind of think about, like, if you're going to go on a vacation, right? You're going to research hotels. You're going to research airline fares. You're going to research the weather. You're going to get a babysitter. You're going to get a pet sitter. You're going to make sure that you didn't leave the oven on. You're going to make sure someone takes in your mail. You're going to check off all of the boxes. You're going to do a lot of research before you actually leave your home for a week or two. You know, you're going to make sure that you've laid everything out. And in terms of this crime, I don't think anything was laid out. There was so many loose ends. I think the only thing he actually did do was clean. And obviously he and Shanann were both incredibly clean people. Their house was immaculate. It was immaculate, okay? They went to the house, there was not a speck of anything. Nothing. Now, he did kill Shanann by strangulation, so there would not be a trail of blood. I mean, maybe there would be, but, you know, pretty much it's a bloodless crime. You know, he's just cutting off her oxygen, and that's how she dies. But he cleaned the house. But in terms of covering his tracks, and more importantly, having an exit strategy, this he had none. Okay, so according to his friend Mark Jameson, who's known Chris forever, he's his very good friend. I think Mark is in the Navy. You know, they don't live in the same state, but they're in touch. He said that Chris is the kind of guy that if he had planned to do this, if this was premeditated, he probably would have gotten away with it. I agree with that. So his colleagues, his coworkers said that he was like Rain Man. That's who they compared him to. And that reference, obviously, is due to his photographic memory, his attention to detail. He can just look at something and just kind of nail it. You know, instantly. Some people have that ability. Chris had that ability. So, being that he had that ability, and this is what he was sort of known for, the fact that he would screw the pooch so royally and fuck it up so bad, it doesn't really add up. It's not that it doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up to a plan that was planned in advance on a piece of paper that he really thought it out. You know, I think that he thought it out only up until the deed was done, but nothing afterwards, Okay, so think about it. You've got a wife and two daughters. They're just going to go missing. They're just going to vanish from the face of the earth, and no one's going to go looking for them for months or years or your entire life. Obviously, he knows. You know, people debate over his intellect. They say he's got a high IQ, but he doesn't come across as very smart. Well, I don't really know how smart or dumb he is. I would say that he has to obviously know that people are going to be looking at him as a prime suspect for his entire life. So why then, if this was a preset plan, would he screw it up so badly and have no exit strategy? Obviously, he doesn't want to go to prison for his entire life, okay? So that's not part of the plan. He doesn't want to go to jail. So he has to have some sort of way to get himself out of it. Now, some people have said, oh, the planned explosion, the whole thing about the Amazon Fire Stick, how they were going to set off an explosion, and Troy McCoy, and they were just going to kind of set off an explosion, and then he was going to collect an insurance payout for a wrongful death. Okay, well, I guess in terms of plans, if that's something he had in mind, and you're factoring in the red gas can, I suppose this could be perceived as an actual plan. I can't say that's what he was actually doing, and I feel like that plan in and of itself is way too far-fetched and too out there to even be considered a possibility. But I don't rule it out. I don't rule anything out. I think that's a possibility. I think that if he did have a plan in mind, he had to have a getaway car. He had to have a way to get himself out of this, to extricate himself, and he didn't have that. The fact that he didn't have that leads me to believe it wasn't premeditated, at least not in the traditional sense. Okay, so like I said, I think there are two sides. They can argue either side of whether or not it was planned. You know, Chris said in his confession in the Dodge facility, he said, when I woke up that morning, I feel like something was implanted in my head, and I just knew it was going to happen, and there was nothing that could have stopped it. Now, to me, that speaks of a plan, not a long-term plan, but a short-term plan. Like, he woke up and he was thinking about it. And as I referenced before, I talked with my friend, you know, it probably crossed his mind more than a few times. Not maybe necessarily any more than any other married couple who's like, oh God, my life would be so much better if you just disappeared. You know, but, you know, people get heated towards each other and then they get over it, right? You know, they don't really want to kill the person. But in his mind, maybe eventually that did kind of come into focus. So he said when he woke up that morning, there was something in his head. He just knew it was going to happen. There's nothing he could have done to have stopped it. Now, that would suggest that it wasn't necessarily the result of a plan, but he was somehow, you know, triggered. He was poisoned somehow. He had some sort of drug interaction in his body, or he had some sort of demon possession, but something came over him. And you know, when you think about it, I think it's kind of like when Chris says that there was something implanted in him and he felt like he was out of control, there's nothing he could have done to have stopped it. I think what he actually does, whether this is true or not, is he sort of lets himself off the hook a little bit because he makes it sound like, hey, it wasn't me, it was this force. You have to blame the force. It's kind of like, it wasn't me, it was the booze. It wasn't me, it was the drugs. The real me wouldn't have done that. That kind of lets yourself off the hook a little bit. He's also said, why couldn't I have just let go? This is referring to him with Shanann. Why couldn't he have just let go? That also would sort of suggest that there was some sort of outside entity that was controlling him. I don't really buy this. He could, of course, have let go. Unless if there was something controlling him. But no one was holding a gun to his head. You know, people do react to drug interactions where their subconscious is pretty much taken over. They're not really in control anymore. At least the person you know on the day-to-day basis, they're not really driving the bus anymore. Someone else is sort of driving the bus. Why couldn't I have let go? I don't know. So this sort of idea speaks to a sort of a snap, a rage, and this does not speak to premeditation. Now, there's so much going on here because I don't think he wants to give off the impression to his parents or his family at all that this was premeditation, because this obviously would maybe, I don't know if it would destroy, but it would compromise his relationship with them because they would see him very differently. So he wants to preserve his image as a nice guy, just like he went through a situation where he was overcome by something. Thereby, the real Chris, the one of the two Chrises that Graham Coder spoke about, the real Chris, the other Chris, the good guy Chris, can still remain intact, right? Okay, so he himself wants to make a suggestion that he had snapped. He was angry at Shanann, and therefore he snapped. So that means no plan. He doesn't want there to be the appearance of a plan. He also said, I was just so angry at her. And to this I say, okay, well, why were you angry at her? Because according to her, just, very recently you guys were having sex like rabbits. Everything was good. Everyone was happy. You were having another baby. You were happy about it. So what exactly was it? Was it the Nutgate incident? I mean, I think that people talk about that as a big deal. I think that was a huge deal. I think that and Nicole Kessinger, those two things coupled together were like an explosion. You know, first he has the mistress in place and she gives him a soft landing so that if he leaves his wife, he has someone he can go to. So that's already in place. He's now no longer worried about leaving his marriage or leaving Shanann and feeling like he's going to be standing there all by himself. He has someone to go to. Then you have the Nutgate incident where Chris's parents already were not the biggest fans of Shanann. And now you have this thing which is creating yet another issue between her and her in-laws. So even though Cindy had pretty much told him all along, we knew all along that she was trouble, this is just literally reinforcing that idea. Because in the very beginning, I think that Chris didn't believe his parents, didn't think there was anything wrong with her. And I'm not saying there was anything wrong with her, but they were trying to convince him that there's something not right about her. And he is like, no, 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 no. I'm a man. I'm a grown-up. I'm a grown-ass adult. I don't believe you. You're wrong about her. You misjudge her. But he did go to his friend Mark Jameson, and he said something like, oh, I finally saw the light about Shanann. I finally saw her for her true colors, or something like that. So he was then sort of like, now he has an alliance with Nicole Kessinger, and now he's going back to the loyalty of his parents. Because Shanann sort of defied his parents because she said, oh, well, I don't want your parents seeing the kids anymore, thinking that they were some sort of a threat to her children's safety because of the pistachio ice cream. Okay? So, you know, this is basically plan versus no plan. Like, it's really hard to say. So, arguing for a plan. He did volunteer to go to Survey 319 on that morning to check on the release. This would suggest there was some sort of plan going on. Now, he could have gone there anyway, so you can argue this on both sides. He volunteered to go do work at a company he already works for, so that doesn't seem like it's necessarily suspicious. But, incidentally, he did discard the bodies at that work site. So, if you put those things together, he volunteers to work there, and this is where he discards the body, this would suggest there was some sort of plan in effect. His work truck has GPS, which pings every 10 seconds, and he knows about this. He knows about this not because he has a photographic memory. He knows about this because he worked for the company for several years having a truck, and he knows that his truck has GPS. He's fully aware of this. So this would suggest that it's not a plan. Because if it is a plan, why is he driving the getaway car to the bullseye, X marks the spot, where the bodies are buried? That doesn't make any sense. So this would suggest it wasn't a plan. It was haphazard. Nate's security camera on Nate's house, which points towards Chris's driveway. This would suggest there is no plan, because Chris was well aware of this camera. So how could that be? That doesn't make any sense. Chris called up Vivint, the security company that provides security for his house, and he talked with them for 30 minutes. And he was kind of messing with the security systems. This would suggest there was a plan. He was messing with the security, so maybe there was a plan there. He also messed with the Wi-Fi in his house. This also suggests there was some kind of plan going on, okay? He discards the body exactly where he's going to work, as I already said, and the truck has GPS. This is going to indicate his movements bit by bit by bit. I mean, there's no backtracking from this. This would suggest no plan. Why didn't he use Shanann's Lexus, which does not have GPS on it, right? Or maybe it does have GPS, but it doesn't have a tracking system directly affiliated with his job, okay? So he could have gone there. I mean, they still could have accessed her GPS, but in any case, he took his work truck. That doesn't make any sense. That would suggest no plan. He also began working right after he discarded the bodies. He discarded Bella and Cece in separate oil batteries, and he dug a hole and put Shanann in the hole face down, and that is just fucking psycho. Like, he's going to do all of this, and then he's going to start his work day. Like, nothing. Now, I don't know if that suggests a plan versus no plan. I would just say that's just completely psychotic, okay? As I said before, no exit strategy, nothing, just crazy, okay? Obviously, there's going to be a very long search for this mom and the kids. It's going to go on forever. They're not going to just give up looking for them. So this is going to put him under a microscope for his entire life. This suggests no backup plan. How is he going to escape that, the scrutiny? It's not possible, not at all. So there are those who say, well, he was acting very cold towards her in North Carolina. He wasn't touching her. The kids didn't want anything to do with him, even though normally they were very affectionate towards him and vice versa. But even they were afraid of him. Okay? So this would suggest maybe there was a plan. Maybe he was acting very strange. And I assume that he was acting strange. His friends said that he was acting very cold towards her, which was sort of unprecedented. So this would suggest that obviously he had a switch in his behavior, but that doesn't necessarily indicate that he is planning to murder her. It just shows that maybe he's just cheating and he just doesn't want to have sex with his wife because now he has somebody else he's having sex with and he's wanting to be loyal to Nicole. So that doesn't necessarily mean that he's planning to kill Shanann, but he is alienating affection towards her, okay? There's the whole thing about the oxy, that he was dosing Shanann with oxy, that she apparently was perfectly fine up until the point where he arrived in North Carolina, and then he gives her oxy, he doses her, in the hopes that this is going to miscarry the baby. And it's his feeling that things might be easier if she miscarried the baby. Now, he didn't clarify what he meant by that, things would be easier. I can take away that what he meant was, it might be easier because then NK would not find out that Shanann was pregnant because she'd miscarry. He wouldn't have to she wouldn't put that on Facebook. Or maybe she would, I don't know. But he could avoid having to let NK know that his wife is carrying a boy baby. Where, remember NK said, the only thing I could possibly give you is a boy because you have everything else. Well, apparently he didn't really have everything else, but her perception was that he did. So she felt like, well, the one thing you don't have is a boy baby. I can give you a boy baby. But that wasn't the case because Shanann was carrying a boy. So Chris didn't want the cat to get out of the bag. He actually said to NK something like, once NK found out about the baby, like the day after the murders and he was still in touch with her, he said something like, did I ruin everything? Like he was so concerned about preserving his relationship with his mistress. He's like, did I blow it with you? And she's like, I'll get back to you. Okay. So he wanted her to miscarry the baby. So my feeling is this could have just been his way to avoid having to, I hate to say it, but maybe if he was successful in having her miscarry the baby, this could have been avoided because basically, the baby was the thing that was triggering him. He felt he couldn't afford it. He didn't want it. He already moved on to another woman. The baby's just going to complicate it. It's going to throw a monkey wrench in between him and NK. So he just doesn't want it. So maybe he feels like if he gives her oxy and then she miscarries, she's no longer pregnant. It's no longer a problem. And things would just be easier. Easier meaning, okay, now I don't have to kill you. Maybe I was thinking about it, but now the pressure's off. So maybe that's what it meant, you know? And also, I would say that if he was going to go through the trouble of getting Oxy and giving it to Shanann and having her miscarry the baby. He's then going to go and kill her? That doesn't make any sense. Because if he does manage to do that, then technically the problem has been solved. Why would he dose her to have her miscarry and then plan to kill her? It doesn't really make any sense, okay? Also, he told her in North Carolina he didn't want another baby. Now, he initially said he did want another baby. They both had planned for having three children, or they talked about it. They seemed happy about it. They did the whole Facebook video where he was looking at the pee stick, and he saw that she was pregnant. He misunderstood it to be pink. He said, oh, so pink means girls? I mean, hello? Pink doesn't mean girls. It just means pregnant, okay? And she said, no, honey, that's just the test. Okay, dummy. And he was feigning a smiling face and a happy expression. Now, people have read into this video, like, relentlessly. And even the detectives were like, you didn't really seem all that happy. I gotta say, I mean, you know, I don't know. If this tragedy hadn't happened and you saw this video in and of itself, I don't think that anything would look awry about his expression. He was smiling. He says, oh, we did it again, and he's smiling and giggling, and it looks perfectly natural. Only because we know what happened after the fact do you look at that video and look at it kind of suspiciously and say, oh, obviously he wasn't happy about the news of having a third baby. So, I don't know about that. Obviously, after the fact, I realized he was not happy about having a third baby, but I think he put on a convincing smile to indicate that he was happy about it. He's like, oh, I like that shirt, and oh, yeah, I guess when you want it to happen, it does. There, I saw him kind of break a sweat a little bit, like he was stressed out about this. Okay, so he wanted to cancel the gender reveal, and they did. And he told her he didn't want a third baby. Obviously, it's going to be very awkward for them to have to tell, like, because Shanann lived her entire life on Facebook. So everyone knew she was pregnant, and she's showing off the little baby and the size of the baby at however many weeks. And it's the size of a lemon, it's the size of a cucumber, whatever. And now they're going to have to tell everyone, like, if he says, I don't want another baby, what are they going to do, have an abortion? And then she has to tell her entire community that, oh, sorry, we decided we're not going to keep the baby. Like, she's not going to do that. And that's going to be very awkward for all of them. So they canceled the gender reveal, and he told her he doesn't want another baby. But this could just be a sign of marital discord. This doesn't necessarily mean that he's getting ready to kill her. So I don't think that him telling her he doesn't want another baby is indicative that he's getting ready to murder her, okay? I don't think anyone actually thought that, but I just wanted to throw that out there. Also, he refused marriage counseling. You know, this can just, again, all of these examples just means that he's ready to check out of the marriage. He's done. He doesn't want to be married anymore. He doesn't want to be with her anymore. He doesn't want to save the marriage. He doesn't want anything to further their relationship. They already have Bella and Celeste, and he said, I'm happy to just have Bella and Cece, and that I don't need any more kids. I don't want any more kids, at least not with you, okay? So these could just be signs of an impending divorce or a current affair which he was having, and not a plan for murder, okay? Then there was the whole thing about the doll. Now, to me, I don't know. I'm on the fence about that doll. I think it was a warning. I think it was, in my humble opinion, I think this was some sort of a very, very disturbing threat. And as I said in another episode, when I talked specifically all about the doll, I think there's a possibility that he didn't mean to send that to Shanann. Maybe he meant to send that to Nicole. That was just a theory. I can't back that up. It's just a theory. But why would he send a photo of a doll that is made up to look like a deceased body just a week before he's going to kill her? Obviously, he's smart enough to realize that it's going to go in cyberspace. You can't undo it. Obviously, this is going to look bad when they retrieve his text messages. So why would he do that? I mean, by that definition, I'd say, why would he send it to NK? But maybe he was just joking around and saying, oh, wouldn't it be funny if I killed her? You know, and I think at that point, you know, maybe they were just joking about it, you know? I don't know. That to me, you know, Sandy, Shanann's mom, said, oh, the girls were just playing around, saying that the girls themselves, Cece and Bella, they were the ones that put the sheet on top, or the pretend, I think it was a Twister, you know, the game Twister. I think they used the Twister sheet to put onto the doll to make it look like a corpse. And she said they were just playing around. But the timing is very suspicious. Okay. Chris said that he killed her in a fit of rage. But, you know, here's the thing. If the kids were alive in the car, and he said that they were, and there was indications that they were, you know, he's going to be in the car with them for nearly an hour. The drive to Surrey 319 is about 50 minutes from his house in Frederick. So that drive, he could have come down from his rage. He actually said, he's like, why couldn't I have just saved them? Well, you could have saved them. You could have stopped yourself at any time. You had a long drive. You said, Chris even said the kids weren't really acting up in the car, which to me, I feel like, again, this is just part of the puzzle. They're 3 and 4 years old. They see their mother at their feet in a sheet. You're telling me they're not acting up? They're just sitting there quietly? The only thing I can even fathom is maybe they were just so completely terrified. So that's why they were quiet. But he referred to Cece as Rampage. He said she had two speeds, you know, go or sleep. Like, she never was calm. So if she's going to be in the car with her feet dangling over her dead mother, you think she's just going to sit there quietly resting on Bella's lap and not doing anything, not crying, not making any noise? So that, to me, is just another mystery. I just don't know. I don't know if they were alive or dead. But let's just say they are alive in the car, okay? He had an entire hour to calm down from his supposed rage, and he just didn't. He's like, I am a man on a mission. I am determined. He didn't seem to be enraged. He seemed incredibly focused. He was methodical. He was determined. He was calm, at least the way he conducted himself and the way he was behaving afterwards. He seemed like a very calm person. He described himself to the detectives. He's like, I'm a very calm person. You have to believe me. I'm very calm. I'm the kind of person that would, you know, discourage people from fighting. I'm going to put out the fire. I'm not going to start the fire, you know, but he seemed very, very calm and focused that morning. We see him on video, and he seems very calm and focused in the interviews and the interrogation. So, you know, will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Which one is the real guy? Because if he can be calm and focused while he's murdering his kids, and then he can be calm and focused in an interview, you're like, who are you, dude? Who the hell are you? You know, we can't tell who the real guy is. Maybe you're just, like, putting on a mask, and you're just trying to fool everybody. So, just a couple more things. He did call the kids' school to cancel their enrollment. Okay, so this to me is, you know, I actually read this on Reddit, so I just want to give credit to that. And I totally agree with this. This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He has his kids with him in his car, right? And he's going to work. He cancels the kids' enrollment in school. He's not taking them to school. He's taking them to his work site. Okay? Do you see where I'm going here? How is he going to keep them with him? Was it take your kids to the oil field day? You know, they say take your kids to work day. He was taking his kids with him to work, and then he's going to work on the oil field. What's he going to do, leave them in the back of his truck while he goes to work? No, obviously not. Obviously, he has to do something with them. So this clearly was a preset plan. He wasn't planning to keep them with him while he was working. He had to put them somewhere, and that meant he had to get rid of them, and it's exactly what he did. He canceled the kids' enrollment in their school, and then he went on to his workday like nothing had happened. Okay? So that is a plan. Okay, so wrapping up, like I said before, I am definitely in the camp to think that if it was a plan, I think there was a plan of action there, but it was an incredibly sloppy plan, which leads me to believe there was very little planning. It was more of a spontaneous thing, although I don't think that just because it was spontaneous, it was a fit of rage, but I do think it was not something that he sat down and really put a lot of thought into it. You know, maybe he thought about killing her, but he didn't think about planning it. Like, he didn't think about how he's going to get away with it. He didn't think about how he's going to plan it, how he's going to answer all of these
loose ends and deal with all the loose ends. And like I've said in several episodes already, the whole thing about Nicole Atkinson coming to his house after, you know, that morning, you know, on the 13th, like she pretty much squashed any chances he had to sort of tie up loose ends. So as I said before, he was able to clean up the house, and he did so very effectively. The house was already clean, but they said that there was fresh vacuum marks on the carpet. So he was cleaning. They said there was a strong smell of cleaning chemicals. So he was cleaning. I mean, he was cleaning probably all night after he killed Shanann. Whether or not the kids were still alive, who knows? But he was cleaning that house. He was cleaning like a madman. But he still had loose ends he had to tie up. He put the latch on the door, on the interior of the house, because he knew that maybe someone's going to go inside his house while he's not there. He doesn't want that. He wants to make sure nobody enters that house but him. He has to put on a facade like he's going to work, like everything is normal. That's what he does. He goes to his work site like he planned to do, like he set out to do, and he was going to work the full day and then come back to his house and clean up the rest of the mess, giving himself a bit of a head start. But he didn't have that chance. So in summary, like I said, I don't think it was, I know I'm repeating myself, I don't think it was a long, detailed, premeditated murder in the traditional sense, like he was really, really planning it. I think it was so haphazard that, you know, it was done sort of spontaneously. I think he thought about it, but he didn't give much thought to it at all. And like his friend Mark Jameson had said, if he had actually planned to do this, he probably would have gotten away with it. Okay, those are my 2 cents for today. Thank you again for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing and listening to this podcast. I sincerely appreciate it. Please leave a comment if you haven't done so already, good, bad, or ugly. I don't really care. Just give me the feedback, and I will do my best with it. Please follow me. The website is whatsupnow.com. That's whatsupnow.com. And you can join the conversation on Facebook. Thank you again, and have an awesome day. Stay safe, stay healthy. Take care.